Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkins with and Jim Galante here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're talking Penn State football, starting right now with the news from the weekend. A couple recruiting tidbits, some testing numbers I want to run through you there, Jimmy. We're going to move on to spring storylines. It's a series we're going to kick off, just looking position by position at what we're expecting to see, what we're hoping to see developmentally at each spot leading up to spring practice, which starts March 13th, leading up then to the blue-white game in April. We'll round things out with a Penn State basketball update from Jeff Brown. He should be really in his best mood with a big win over Michigan, followed by a loss to Purdue. But we're going to focus on the win over Michigan.
Let's go with the positive. Glass half full, Dusty.
Glass half full. So we're going to do that. Jeff Brown will join us in a little while. For now, let's start with the news. And I guess, you know, the big story from the weekend, Phil Galliano leaving Penn State to take the assistant special teams job for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm curious your thoughts on the magnitude of Phil leaving, whether it was inevitable. I was starting to doubt whether they would part ways at all, and whether this was really Phil just leaving on his own to go pursue another opportunity.
Well, right from the start, Dusty, I thought if you're being held accountable, players should, coaches should. You saw how quickly Franklin moved on the wide receiver coach. The special teams was just atrocious. I had always been wondering if we were all of a sudden going to hear about the reassignment of Phil Galliano. All of a sudden he'd have a new position and they'd just be talking about, well, they shuffle the coaches. I'm wondering now if it wasn't a case of Franklin having the conversation with him and just saying, hey, Phil, time to look for another position. We're not going to make any announcement. You go out. It's easier to get a job if you have a job.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he just did Galliano that favor.
It could be. And I found it interesting. Blake Gillikin, the special teams captain and punter, he was talking at the Thon event over the weekend and said he's basically been the special teams coach. And that the way that I read into that was that, you know, the timing of that quote versus the timing of Galliano officially leaving was only a few days. The quote didn't sound like he was only referring to a few days that he's been essentially the special teams coach. He's excited to get somebody new in there. So to me, I mean, I know I'm reading between the lines here, and that's a dangerous thing to do, but to me it seems like this was probably bubbling for a while, and that Gillikin as a captain was kind of overseeing things for a little while.
It probably was, as you called it, bubbling for a while. But let's just take this to what is important about it, is a change will be made. And even more important than, or as important as a coach leaving, new coach coming in, it's also a message to the players about this whole accountability idea. Special teams was not good in 2018, and somebody had to pay the price. And typically that's the coach.
Yeah.
But it's also a warning to the players. Things have got to change for next year. So because of that, you never want to see anyone lose their job, and it's great. He's got another position. He's in the NFL. But the important message that I hope the players received was, can't be the same. And it was interesting, some of Franklin's quotes. You have our punter who's the captain of the special teams. But Franklin has pointed out the inconsistency on special teams, and he pointed out, well, we get one punt of 60 yards and the next punt is 29 yards.
Yeah.
Who was that message for?
Nobody's immune to that. And when you struggle, and I think, you know what? I think he's right.
Oh, yes.
You know, with Gillikin, I think when he's at his best, he's definitely one of the best. But I think this past year, for sure, there were too many moments where he wasn't his best. And You know, I think when it comes to David Corley, it comes to the performance of the wide receivers and it comes to the special teams, the fact that week one and all the way through the Citrus Bowl were exactly the same. You know, that was one of the most disappointing things of the Citrus Bowl is that, you know, you did have the opportunity to pump the brakes for a few weeks, really scout yourselves and focus on those things that maybe as you're caught up in the whirlwind of the season, you're not able to fully diagnose and get into it. It was all more of the same in the bowl game. I know that James Franklin has talked about this before, but he doesn't want to fire anybody. He doesn't want to impact somebody's life in a negative way, but he's got a whole bunch of kids on his team. He's got a program, a university, other coaches that depend on him making the right decisions. And I think in both of these cases, I know that their times were short-lived and maybe they could have made a case for getting more time in their jobs, but I don't think James Franklin had that kind of time. That performance from week one all the way through the end was unacceptable in both of those areas, and this is the end result.
And if you were seeing improvement through the year, you'd say, okay, the coaching is helping. And I was just like you, Dusty. I thought the bowl game is an opportunity. A lot of times you can call that the first game of the following season.
Yes.
And if that were the case, it wasn't a good start.
No.
So that was the chance for these coaches to salvage the situation for themselves, and it didn't happen. By the way, I'm not sure if you mentioned it or if you had it on your agenda. Speaking of receivers, the transfer portal had some news too. We have a receiver going to Oregon.
Juwan Johnson going to Oregon. That was the first visit that – and maybe the only visit. Have you seen visit plans from any of the others?
No.
So I that was the only bit of information we had about where Penn State guys thought they might end up. So Juwan Johnson said he was going to visit Oregon. So when he committed and he went there, and that's his choice, that wasn't that big of a surprise. I think Juwan Johnson can have a really nice 2019 season. I don't know if Juwan Johnson is going to build himself into – you know, an NFL player in the 2019 season. But I know that 2018 was a low point for him. I thought 2018 was a chance for him to build on a pretty good it was his redshirt sophomore season in 2017. I thought he had a chance to build on that. I think maybe he was one of the guys who struggled a bit because he wasn't getting the coaching that he needed. That's my feeling on Juwan.
And he was one of those that the team lost or had go into the portal that I was hoping he would come back, because I still remember, you know, 2 years ago what he was and what we thought he could become. And let's face it, if you have all the other tools, the physical tools, the size, he does have the talent, you know. I'd like to remind people, wasn't it just a couple years ago Mike Gesicki couldn't catch a ball? Remember, yeah. Early in his career, yeah. He had this season where he dropped everything, and that changed the following season. I could see that happening with Juwan Johnson, and maybe the change of scenery will help him. You know, it's a fresh start. He'll feel like it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
I hope he does very well out there.
I really think that he will. I think he's got a good shot to do that. So Oregon's a good fit for him. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they love Keystone Sports Network listeners. They want to extend a special offer to you guys for the Blue-White game. They lowered their rates to ridiculously low prices. $350 for a group of four arriving anytime Friday. You stay the whole way through Sunday morning. Free parking, free shuttle to and from the Blue-White game, which, oh, by the way, is also free. So you want to talk about a $350 weekend for you and three friends where you can tailgate for the better part of 3 days. Two full days of tailgating if you want to for the Blue-White game. That's coming up soon. You got to call and reserve soon. You can check all the details at gopsurv.com. And, oh, by the way, we still have a giveaway going for – or do we not?
No, we still have that. Okay. It's going strong. We've had a lot of entries, a lot of interest. Go to your app, the KSN Keystone Sports app. Download it if you haven't. Push the free RV button. Just give us your name, email address, and you're entered to win.
There you go. It doesn't get any easier than that.
No, it does not.
I keep promising to get in. I haven't gotten in yet. Let me. I don't know what you know about Derek Wingo, the 2020 linebacker from Florida, but – I knew that he could be good, and then you see, you know, he wins linebacker MVP honors at the opening regional event in Miami, which, by the way, it's that time of year. We're starting down that road now, too, where we're building up to the opening next summer. But he runs a 4.76 in the 40, a 4.10 in the agility drill, which we'll kind of put those numbers into perspective then. But he's 6'2", 215, 99th percentile in their power metric, the power ball toss. And I feel like people should be getting more excited about him. I know he wasn't really a household name at the time, but it just strikes me that maybe he's a guy who's going to start rising a little bit. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't matter where he's at in the national rankings, which he's in there. 24/7 Sports has him in the top 300. The 24/7 Composite has him in the top 200 overall. He's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's an interesting guy, and I feel like what he did this past weekend is definitely worth talking about.
Well, what's interesting is he's a four-star, right?
He is.
And now we just take that for granted. Pretty much every recruit is a four-star.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need five stars to get excited anymore. And the other part, though, that is great about this kid, where's he from again?
The state of Florida.
Huh, how about that? Inroads into just so much talent down there. And no, you don't have to go get 15 kids there every year. But if you're cherry picking and bringing in 2, 3, 4 from Florida every year that are this caliber, you're doing a great job. And a certain recruiter, Jawan Sider, is doing his job.
And by the way, Jawan Sider is indispensable, I think, now, because if you're gonna sprinkle these guys into your usual region, which 2020 is the year, we'll talk about a little bit later this week on the Keystone Kickoff Show, where the Mid-Atlantic is producing big time players, and you're able to supplement that with the state of Florida. Now, the flip side of that is you're starting to see Florida really start to push a little bit on Wingo, and the idea of keeping a guy who's 1,000 miles away, that becomes something to watch. So that'll be worth watching down the stretch. There's not a good reason to panic or anything like that. But Wingo, good player. Don't talk about him that much because there's some big names on the board, including Julian Fleming, who has Penn State in his top six.
Is this about the third time he's listed a top six or top five or top four?
There's going to be a top 5.5 coming soon, I think. He's going down that road where it's kind of like Micah Parsons, where I think he's enjoying the recruiting attention. And if that's me, I cannot blame the kid at all. You're just going to have to ride this thing out. Penn State in a leader position, but he's going to talk up a lot of schools. So you're just going to have to be patient through the rest of his recruitment.
That is going to be the nature of five-star recruits, these top elite players. Guess what? But if you ever wanted someone to be your lead recruiter, James Franklin, not a bad guy to have.
Not a bad guy to have at all. We'll see where it goes. I think we won't find out for a while on Fleming. We're moving on here. We're going to talk spring storylines in just a moment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.